This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor Eli Sheldon, Jr. speaking. We count on the privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness to us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let us pray. Our Father, we praise thee and thank thee for thy precious and holy word that thou hast left, that word which is forever settled in heaven, which cannot be broken, and which pictures thee as the holy and righteous one who sits upon thy throne, ruling and reigning over the universe. We praise thy name that the same word tells us of our sinnership and how we have sinned against thee, our holy God, but also of thy salvation that thou hast purposed and planned for us in Christ. And we praise thee that we can proclaim this precious word today over the ether waves. So we ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit, that we'll be under his complete control and authority, and that thy word will go home in power and much assurance to each and every listener. For it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen.
Thank you.
praise God for His gracious, marvelous salvation that He gives to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of grace, all of God's mercy, given to us freely, without price, without cause or reason within us at all. God has purposed and planned salvation. I praise Him for it. Do you? We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Dear friend, write us if we can help you. Tell us that you're standing with us in your prayers as we preach the Word of God as it is to men as they are. Did you write for your free book that we're offering this month entitled The Disciplines of Life? This will be the last time that we offer it. A book, 31 chapters, wherein the author goes and shows how God took the characters of the Bible and disciplined them in the time of danger, delay, desolation, desperation, times of difficulty, disability, disappointment. 31 chapters along this line. A gracious little book that I wholeheartedly recommend to you. It's yours free and postpaid if you will write us. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. We desire to continue the series of messages that we began a few weeks ago on the subject, the Word of God and sin, or what the Holy Scriptures teach concerning this awful law or principle called sin, which is rebellion against the holy and righteous God of the universe. We desire again today to continue our subject under the heading of the effect of sin upon the human race. And I pray that you will listen as we go into this subject, showing you from God's holy word the effect of sin upon your heart and upon mine. Let us approach our subject today in this manner. That this doctrine of sin and its effect upon you and I and the whole human race is a most solemn one. For as no heart can sufficiently conceive, so no tongue can adequately express the state of wretchedness and ruin into which sin has cast guilty, miserable man. In separating us from God, it has severed us from the only source of all happiness, and the source of all holiness. It has ruined our body and our soul and our mind, and our spirits are dead before God. It has filled the body with sickness and with disease, and in the soul the image of God has been defaced and destroyed. It has made you and I a lover of sin and a hater of God. Yes, as we view sin in the light of God's Word and see what it has done to God, to His Christ, and to man and God's creation, my dear friend, it is a solemn thing. For it has shut us out from God. It has opened the gates of hell and necessitates the death of the Lord of glory for any to be saved and come into the presence of a holy God. Yes, it is solemn because it has cost man the most precious possession that he has ever had, and that is his never-dying soul. Fools make a mock of sin. But to every awakened soul under the sound of my voice today, sin is a solemn thing because it has separated your soul from God and has damned you to hell. Again, the doctrine of sin as revealed in God's Word is a very humbling one. It does not present man as merely being ignorant and requiring instruction, nor that he is run down and needs a tonic, rather that you and I have become undone, lost, spiritually dead, void of any righteousness that will commend us to God. The Word of God pictures us without strength, thoroughly incapable of bettering ourselves, exposed to the wrath of God, and unable to perform a single work which can find acceptance with a holy and a righteous God, according to Romans 3, verses 10 through 18. Therefore, the impossibility of any man gaining the approval of God by works of his own appears plainly in the case of the rich young ruler who came to Christ as recorded in Matthew 19. I want you to get this now. If we were to judge this young man, by human standards, he was a model of virtue and religious attainments. Yet, like all others who trust in self-efforts, he was ignorant of the spirituality and strictness of God's holy law. For when Christ put him to the test and showed him the covetousness of his heart, he went away sorrowful, for he had great riches. It was humbling to this young man to find out that his best duties in religion were nothing but stinking rags in the nostrils of God. And my friend, it is humbling to you and I to find out that God requires truth in the inward parts, and that we cannot produce it. But not only that, but we cannot shut off sin in our hearts, in our affections, and in our desires, and in our minds. For we are sinners by nature, as well as by practice. Are you listening to me? Try to get rid of sin, and we find we cannot. It is there, in our nature. We cannot get rid of it by resolutions, by commands, by sacrifice, by shutting ourselves out from the world. No, because it is in our nature, and we are by nature sinners. Jeremiah 13:23 reads, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may you also do good that are accustomed to doing evil." No, we cannot change ourselves. Only the powerful operation of God the Holy Spirit upon the soul can change any man. This fact of being a sinner by nature was humbling to the Apostle Paul, as he tells us in Romans 7. There he tells us that he was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came that he could not covet, that he should not covet, then all hell turned loose in his soul as he saw that he was hopeless and helpless against sin, for he was carnal, souled under sin. It was humbling to him to find out that what he wanted to do, live righteous, he could not do. And that which he did not want to do, sin against a righteous and a holy God, he found himself doing. It was humbling to find out that he had a will to do good, but no power to perform that will, because his will was depraved and held captive by his sinful nature. It was humbling to him to find in him a law that he could not control, the law of sin. Fight it, resolve against it, denounce it, do everything against it, he would. Still, he could not get rid of it. It was humbling to find that sin ruled him and governed him and had damned him to hell, and he could do nothing about it. No wonder he cried in Romans 7:24, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Yes, when you and I see the awful power of sin in our lives, in our nature, it is humbling to find that we can do nothing about it. But this is the effect of sin upon man. Let's go further. The Apostle Paul found out what every soul finds out when whom God saves, that only in the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, can any man be saved and the power of sin broken. My friend, have you ever found it out? I praise God that your speaker has. That's the reason that I praise him. That's the reason that I give thanks to him day and night for his precious blood, that by his power and by his blood, he has redeemed my never-dying soul, and I pray that he will work the same in your heart. Again, the doctrine of sin is revealed in God's Word, and its effect upon you and I and all of mankind is a doctrine that is very unplannable. For you and I to hear of our greatness, our dignity, our nobility as men is something we really love. We like to hear this. To hear of our educational advances, our scientific advances, our advance in art and literature, our advance in space travel, and our advance in all kinds of technical knowledge is something that tickles the ears of our pride and warms the very bottom of our heart. But to hear that we are lost sinners, to hear that we are depraved sinners, is very unplannable. We don't like it and shut our ears and hearts to it, whether we think it is unpalatable or not. God's Word does not paint a pretty picture of the awfulness of sin and its effect upon all that we are. Are you listening? The word palatable means pleasing to the mind, agreeable. But the knowledge of what we are by nature in the sight of God is very unpalatable. We do not agree with God's Word on this subject. It is not pleasing to our minds. Therefore, we will not by nature face the awful ruined condition that sin has wrought in us and brought us into, apart from the powerful work of God's Spirit in us. Only as the light of God's grace shines into our hearts are we made to admit that we are in God's sight what His Word says we are, utterly ruined sinners. That is the reason God has to give us a new heart. If ever we are saved, He tells us in Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. I praise God that that's there, and that this is the reason that God does this. I hear someone asking the question, Pastor, why must God give man a new heart? I will answer you with a question. Have you ever taken your Bible and with a concordance traced out what the Bible compares the heart of man to? Did you know that the Bible declares that the effect of sin upon man is such that our hearts and what proceeds from our hearts are compared to some of the most revolting things we can think of? Did you know that God's Word calls us by nature a wiggling maggot wallowing in the filth of the world? Well, He does in Isaiah 41:14 in these words, "Fear not, thou worm Jacob." And the root meaning in the Hebrew is a wiggling maggot in the cesspool. This is the way God looks upon us in the cesspool of sin outside of Christ. No wonder we need a new heart. My friend, did you know that God's Word calls us a putrefying sore in our depraved nature? Well, He does. In Isaiah 1:4-6, He says, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? You will only revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint from the sole of the foot. Even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds, and bruises, and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." This being so, and it is, no wonder we need a new heart given to us by God. Let us go further. Did you know that God's Word declares that man in his natural state is as a menstruous rag cast away by an unclean woman? Well, it does. In Isaiah 64:6, we read, "We are as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy," and the Hebrew says, "menstruous rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." No wonder then we need a new heart when God looks upon us as having such a filthy heart. Do I hear what someone saying, "Pastor, that's not very palatable. It is not pleasing to hear such language." I know it. But this is God's Word, and I must bring it to our hearts so that we may be stripped of all of our pride and all of our self-righteousness and forever despair of finding anything in us to commend us unto God. My dear friend, we have nothing but sin to bring to Him, but praise His holy name, He has a new heart to give us when we come to Him because of the work of the Lord Jesus in shedding His precious blood for the remission of our sins. Yes, when we come to Christ empty-handed, knowing that our heart is filthy before God, that He can do nothing with it. That's right, He can do nothing with the old heart. He doesn't want it. Praise God, by His power He is willing to give us a new heart. Then saving faith is given to us, and we lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He gives us this new heart and this new nature. Again, did you know that God's Word likens us to hogs and dogs when we return to sin? Well, it does. I know this is humbling, but it's God's Word. Listen to 2 Peter 2, verses 20 through 22. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're again entangled, therein overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. No wonder God has to give us a new heart by His Holy Spirit through grace, for the sinful heart we have is ruined beyond repair. My friend, has God ever showed you that? He shows it to every individual He saves. Again, the Scriptures also show that sin has made man like the beast in ignorance and stupidity. We read in Psalm 73:2, So foolish was I, and ignorant I was as a beast before God. In Psalm 49:20 we read, Man, though he be in honor, if he understand not spiritually, is like the beast that perish. My friend, you listen to me there today. If you have not laid down the arms of your rebellion against God, if you have not confessed your sins before Him, if you have not forsaken sin and fled to Christ for refuge, if you are still playing with sin that will soon damn your never-dying soul to hell, then you are like the beast that perish, for you are void of understanding. My dear friend, hear me again. If you make no provision for eternity and have no mind for the world to come, which is the world of eternal good or evil, then surely God's Word pictures you accurately. You are like a beast that perisheth. Oh, that you knew your latter end and would flee to Christ for salvation. Oh, my friend, let me plead with you today to cry after God for mercy. God is calling you by this message. God is speaking to your heart by His Spirit today. He is showing you that all you have is a thin veneer of profession, a thin veneer of church going, a thin veneer of saying your prayers and counting your beads and doing your penance, and your heart is far from God. He is showing you that you have no covering for your never-dying soul, and soon you shall stand before God like Adam, naked. Naked before the eye of God, and then, my friend, where shall you hide? If you cannot run with the footman, what are you going to do when you have to contend with the horses? What are you going to do, my friend, when you stand before God naked? Where are you going to hide? Oh, that you would stand before the holy God today. Tell Him that you are a guilty soul, having broken His holy law. Tell Him you are a naked soul and have not the covering that He has provided in the righteousness of Christ. Tell Him that you are a sinner lost, a sinner doomed, a sinner damned, apart from His divine mercy. Tell Him you are willing to forsake sin and follow Christ. Tell Him you are willing to leave the world with all of its pleasures and follow His precious Son, the Lord Jesus. Tell Him how you have sinned against Him, hated Him, lied to Him, cursed Him, broken His holy law. Tell Him that you are the chief of sinners and that you are ready to come clean and come clear with Him, confessing all and hiding nothing. Tell Him that you deserve hell, but oh, as you confess, look to Him by faith to have mercy upon you in Christ, for the Lord Jesus Christ Himself came to seek and to save the type of sinner that you have confessed you are. Oh, I praise God for this. I praise Him that the sinner we have described in these messages on what sin has done to you and I praise God that we can hold out to you the hope that's in Christ Jesus. The same Word that tells us of sin that humbles us. that makes us look upon ourselves as all of these things that we are. We've shown you from the Word of God today. I praise God that it's that type of sinner that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save. And I pray that saving faith will be granted for you to return unto Him today. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit will so work in your heart that you will not be able to rest until you rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. That you will seek the Lord while He may be found. You will call upon Him while He is near. You will forsake your way and your thoughts, and you will turn unto the living God, who says that He will have mercy upon you and will abundantly pardon you through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you then this question in closing. Do we give ourselves a new heart and a new nature? Oh, no. It is wholly and completely of sovereign grace, given to us out of free mercy by the very one whom we have sinned against. God Himself is the giver of new hearts for Christ's sake. He gives new natures. He gives new hearts because of His love for poor sinners. He gives new hearts because Christ, by His obedience unto death, paid by the shedding of His precious blood, your sin debt, my friend, paid it in full to God's holy law, to His justice. He did this for His sinful people. And now He stands today ready to give new hearts and new natures. And I praise Him that He does it. Out of free, sovereign grace, free, sovereign mercy, He does this for poor sinners. And I praise Him. You've listened. God's been with us. And I praise God for this series of messages. You want to write for your copy of it. I pray that the blessings of our gracious Lord will rest upon you. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. I'm praying for you, dear friend. Write us and let us know of God's dealings in your heart. It's been Pastor Shelton speaking to you again today, thanking you that you've been with us. Praying the blessings of our gracious Lord will rest upon you and yours. And until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.